Good morning, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord for His grace that we have gone through the pandemic all together, and all of us are healthy and safe. Lord, that is something that is blessings from God. Now we have prepared ourselves to welcome a new beginning. Look at the sunshine out there. It is full of great sunshine, and it is good for our church. It's good for all of us. Let us have this faith in our Lord as we welcome in a new era, a new revival to our church. May the Lord continue to guide us and lead us. Now today we will continue to expound on the book of Isaiah, where the title is God Reproves Man's Ungratefulness. We are going to be doing the second chapter on the book of Hosea. He was a prophet during the 8th century B.C. It was a time when the northern kingdom of Israel was extremely corrupted because they turned their backs on God and worshipped Baal. The entire nation was so adulterous, and they refused to repent. So that stirred the wrath of God. Therefore, God ordered Hosea to marry a promiscuous woman whose name was Gomer. God wanted to use Hosea's broken marriage to express his sadness. He wanted them to know how sad he was about his own people. He was so sad about that his people's behavior was like that of an unfaithful wife going after sinful lust. Such sinful lust is unacceptable to our God, who is absolutely holy. So let's take a look at the structure from chapter 2 to 4, that we may have a better understanding of the situation. And this is very important. If we have a better understanding of the structure of the book, then we know what is the will of God. So all of God's children, let me repeat, we must know the will of God and His action. This is something very important for each of us to learn. So let's take a look. Take a look at the structure of Hosea. And it has three sections. First is Hosea's personal life. Second, it is emphasis on God's judgment. And number three, it is a message of hope in the future. And then as we go deeper into the study, it goes back to judgment. And finally, Hosea's personal life again. So it's like a 1, 2, 3, and then 3, 2, 1. That was the structure of the book. So when we have a clearer picture, then it will be easier for us to comprehend the big picture from God's view. So let us take a look at chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. So God is in His first person as He speaks to His own people. In that way, through the prophet, He is speaking to His own people. Verse 4 says, "Furthermore, I will not show," that means I, means God, "will not show pity on my children, since they are children of prostitution." Indeed, the mother has committed prostitution. The one who has been conceiving them has acted disgracefully. When she said, "I'm going after my lovers, they provide me with food and water, as well as my wool, my flax, my oil, and my wine." Can you see that? God is using this first person, singular, representing, say, God Himself is speaking to the mother, the woman, who is representing Israel. It tells us that God was giving all those good stuff to this woman. Yet they were falling, they were going after the four false gospels of the Gentiles. As we come to here, I think about, I'm sure you also know about this one. Many times when we read the Old Testament, we would have realized that the Israelites don't seem to grasp the lesson. They seem to repeatedly sin against God and fail to appreciate His grace. They really have no appreciation how God loved them. Instead, they fell for the lust of culture of the Gentiles, especially the idol worshipping. Remember the book of Judges, where they were lured by the same temptation? Think about this. They continually sin like that. It is like a vicious circle. And we wonder why? So much pain, yet nothing gained. So you see, they keep on going back. God saved them, and then they sin again, and God saved them, and then they continue to sin. What the? It's really like a vicious circle. So this was the consequence of sin. Then our question is, what has caused them to sin so frequently? Today, are we better than them? Actually, the most important reason is, this was the consequence of sin. They were controlled by sin. Oh, this is a very important reason. Even though they have the Mosaic law, even though they were God's chosen race, yet they failed time and again to resist the temptation. They knew, they are aware that God has personally chosen them, yet they failed to resist the temptation. So they fell into the trappings of sin repeatedly. It serves as a warning to us. No wonder the author of Hebrews warned us not to stop attending worship. If we stop, our relationship with God will diminish. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Let's put together, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another even more as you see the day of the Lord coming near. Look at that. Verse 25, right from the beginning, verse 25 warns us. It is like God ordering us. It's not like God is discussing with us. It is an order from our Lord that we must not stop worshiping. Like those who have who were lazy and stop and then they never come back. Here's it's something that God uses to encourage us and warn us against this laziness and stop going to worship God. Because we know that one day God, when the Lord returns, we have to stand before the Lord and have to report to Him. Why? The children of God, Christians, must never stop worshiping. Because once we stop, our relationship with God will slowly diminish. Gradually we will be overcome by the lust of the eyes and by the pride of life. And the rest of the world, all the bad habits in the world will attract us. We will be attracted to all those things of the world. So not only we will fail to be the salt and the light of the world, in fact, we will fail to become a testimony to this corrupted world. Instead, we will be overcome by the darkness of this world, and we will be follow their ways. That's why the book of Hebrews tells us every Christian in the world must never stop to worship God. Praise the Lord. Even though we have the pandemic, through the Zoom meetings, through online meetings, we are able to continue to worship God. That is very important. So let's continue to analyze. why were the Israelites sinning continually? Because in general, the culture of the Israelites at the time was a bit lagging. So it became envious of the culture and the skills of the Gentiles, especially their religious worship of idols. Oh, the lifestyle of the Gentiles were very exciting and attracted them. So the idols were something they can see and touch. And so they began to be envious of their way of worship. Because their idol, they were worshiping idols that they could see with their eyes and touch with their hands. Even today, think about that. That statement is still valid. No wonder many people believe only in what they can see and what they can feel. So many religions created so many idols for their followers so that they may see and then they can worship. So that is the situation. So during Hosea's time, when an Israelite man married a Gentile woman, he would naturally be dragged into his wife's idolatrous environment. Furthermore, the rulers of that period were not godly at all. So they will follow their wives and their families, and then they will not worship God, but worship those idols. At the same time, the king, the rulers of the Israelites, they themselves were not good examples either. So they were not good examples of leadership. And therefore, the whole people followed their leaders and went into idol worship. So what do we see here? Therefore, we can see that there are three things that make the fall of man. Man's ungratefulness, man's pride and arrogance, and thirdly, man's stubbornness and rebelliousness. Apart from Hosea, most of the people were drowned in the pleasures of sin. They were unable to extricate themselves from this sinful predicament. Now we can understand why the Israelites did not learn the lesson. So when we read the Old Testament, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it seems that they never changed. They continually to behave in such a disastrous way. So, and this is a true portrayal of our depraved condition. For it was this reason I always emphasize that whenever we mention God's mercy, we must always talk about His righteousness, His holiness, and His judgment. So when we talk about the gospel, we must talk about His love as well as His judgment and as well as His punishment, because the truth of the cross must be a balanced one. It must be a balanced match when we share about His truth. So don't just tell them that God will always forever forgive them, because they will misguide them and then they will not know how to repent. So let's not just forget that our God is one that does not leave the guilty unpunished. So deep in our hearts, we must remember our God is the one and only unique God. He does not leave the guilty unpunished, as said in Numbers chapter 14. From ancient time as today, if you take a look around you, even in the society, the news, in our family, the consequence of the sin, it is terrible, it is horrible. So man always fall in the temptations of power, of sex, of wealth, all those things, and we all fall into those temptations. So we understand that sin is trying to grab us, trying to swallow us on a daily basis. Therefore, we need a true God who can save us, like Jesus Christ. He came to the world to make himself flesh to save us from all those temptations. Take a look at verses 6 to 8. Verse 6 says, "Look how I'm blocking her path with thorns and building a wall to hinder her so she cannot find her way." She will pursue her lovers, but she won't catch up with them. She will seek them, but she won't find them. Then she will say, "I will go back and return to my first husband, because it was better for me then than now." Verse 8. She didn't recognize that it was I who provided her grain, vine, and oil. And it was I who gave her silver while they crafted gold for Baal. I repeat verse 8 again. She didn't recognize that it was I who provided her grain, wine, and oil. And it was I who gave her silver while they crafted gold for Baal. So they were using the resources that they received from God, and they go and worship Baals, all the idols of Baal. They worship these false idols, so unfortunate. So they were asking for peace from the idols of Baal, such a terrible situation. So many times when we become foolish, you know, we will do foolish things. Sometimes we say, you have a fever in your head? They mistook the idols of Baals, and they believe in their hearts that the idols of Baals were the provider of all the things, all the grains and all the cattle and sheep. So they even believed that those were the gods of fertility. They would give them children. Therefore, all the things that they have received from God, they use them to worship all those false idols. And especially all those things that they learned from Moses, now you would think they must have understand all those things they have learned throughout all those years, teachings of Moses found in the book of the law. And they were in the book of the law, Mosaic law, they were promised the land of flowing milk and honey. Yet something has caused them to completely forgot what they were promised. They were influenced totally by those Gentiles' cultures and those Gentile ways of worship. It was such a terrible way. And therefore, they have sinned against God. And the most important sin was this horrible sin of spiritual adultery. Very serious crime. So let us take a look at the situation from God's angle. Then we will be able to understand why God was so infuriated at them and met up such harsh judgment on them. Let us read verses 9 through 13. "Therefore, I will return and take back my grain at harvest time and my new vine in its season. I will take back my wool and my flax that was to have covered her nakedness." So now I will reveal her lewdness to the eyes of her lovers. I will put a stop to her myth, along with her celebrations, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all of her festive assemblies. Verse 13. Verse 12. "I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, about which she said, 'These are the earnings that my lovers paid me.' I will make them grow into a forest, and the wild animals will eat from them." I will destroy her vines, the Lord says. I will make them grow into a forest, and the wild animals will eat from them. And 13, I will punish her for the time she has devoted to the Baals, to whom she burned the incense, and for whom she put her perseverance endures so she could go after her loves and forget me, declares the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if you read the book of Hosea carefully, you will feel the anger of God. So all those words found in the book of Hosea, mostly they were words spoken by the Lord himself. And the Lord declares that she, referring to the Israelites, she had forgotten me. So this demonstrated the woman here who typified Israel had forgotten that she belonged to her husband. Her inappropriate behavior toward other men showed that she had forgotten who was the provider of all her needs, who was her protector. Now her husband was going to take it all back from her because she neglected to understand that she forgot about it. What you can see here is God's intention was to let her know that he is the one who is truly in control of the whole universe, not the false gods of Baal. That was God's intent. So at the same time, so God wanted to wake them up, hit them on the face, so that they will wake up from their dreams, they will wake up from their mistakes, that they will clearly understand that it was God who was providing them and leading and guiding them. There's a Chinese proverb that says, fear is the heart of love. Remember that? So, well, don't we as parents will understand these proverbs. Sometimes when our children were misbehaving themselves, so we will have to punish them to the point that we have to smack on the back, smack them and make them cry to punish them that they may understand. Even though the pain is on them, it is just as painful in the hearts of the parents. For we love our children so much that we have to punish them that they may learn. And in the same way, God punished his own chosen race that they will wake up from their sinful nature and come back to the Lord. Now don't forget, God has the right to give up on the Israelites if they choose to degrade themselves. Can God choose that option? Of course, God has the right. Let's look at us, we are all as husbands. If a woman is unfaithful to her husband, can you imagine he will just let it pass? Of course not. We'll try initially to explain to her, to urge her to stop. Yet if she have relationship with other men outside the marriage, no man, no husband will be able to accept the fact. Finally, the husband will say, I give up on her. Yet, we can see our God did not give up on his unfaithful children. God willingly kept his cool. He continued to love his children. He never gave them up. Instead, he faithfully awaited their return to his fold. When I read this book, it's just like reading the book of Jeremiah. It is so difficult for me to continue to read forward. If you read this book with your heart, you will also find the same feeling that I have. We will realize that the love of God for us mankind, his mercies, his forgiveness is beyond measure. Others, if the human beings, we would have given it up. But that's the easiest way to give it up. Yet, God takes in those pains. Yet, he never gives up on his children, Israel. and the same thing today. Our God never gives up on us Christians who have continued to sin against Him. For this reason, we must be grateful to God for His mercies and forgiveness. Let's continue to read verses 14 to 15. Therefore, look, I will not allure her. I will now allure her. I will make her go out to the wilderness and will speak to her heart. There I will restore her vineyards to her, and the valley of Acherah will become a doorstep to hope. There she will respond as she did in her youth, when she came up from Egypt. That wonderful. What can we see here? You can see God's heart. He patiently waits for His chosen race to return into His fold. Even though the Israel was like the unfaithful woman, willingly sinned, yet God continued to love His people and hope that they will return to Him. So may the Lord help us to understand the teachings in this book. So from the historical declaration of Israel, we can see a very important truth. We must learn to fear God. Fear God. Let's look at Revelation 15, verse 4. And the Word of God says, furthermore, I will not show pity on her children, since they are children of prostitution. So let's look at verse 4 one more time. Furthermore, I will not show pity on her children, since they are children of prostitution. This is from Revelation. It is a book written by all worshippers. So this is important. Fearing God is very important. So truly fearing God is when you respect Him and honor Him. So that is the first aspect of fearing God. Why? Because He is absolutely holy and righteous. Since we are His created being, we must therefore render back to Him due respect and honor from the depth of our heart. Now, recently I read a title from a pastor, and he gives this example. Say, if you are going for a job interview, you would dress appropriately, and you will arrive 5 to 10 minutes early, because you know the person whom you are going to meet will decide whether you will get the job. So you know it's very important. Therefore, you will never be late, because he will be your future boss. So therefore, you have to present yourself before this future, your future employer. But in the same time, what about your Sunday morning worship? I want to encourage you to come in 5 to 10 minutes earlier for the worship. Let us learn to respect and honor God. Let's start by learning from small baby steps, like not being late to worship, being on time. If you know the importance of not being late in front of the boss, therefore it is more important that you pay God your respect. If you chose to worship at home, please, you can worship at home, but do not do it in the pajama. I may not see, but God knows. Our church worship begins at 9:45, so do not be late. Sunday morning worship time is a time we set aside to worship Him. It's a time that we give to God. So it is something from the depth of your heart When it is in your heart, you want to worship God, you will do likewise. Do we not claim that we want to make it our lifestyle? So I encourage you, make Sunday worship a special moment. Be on time. Come with a heart ready to worship God, because God is going to lead us. Well, we have God bless him with good health, with such blessings, and it's great. So it's a way for us to be in responsive to God. So in our daily life, it is for us to train, equip ourselves through our daily lives. Now, I'm not saying that reading the Bible from home is not good. It's good. Eh? It is good that you can do it from home. But most important, how I can use what I learned from the Bible and utilize it in our daily lives, that I may serve him. I'll give you a good example. When you're driving, I mean, saw a stop sign, you stop right there. You are never going to keep on driving. So, well, you may think, my car is the only car on the road. No one is watching. But, you know, God is watching. Therefore, from baby steps, you learn how to worship God and to honor God. Now, the second aspect of fearing God is to serve him fervently. Let's read from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. Fear the Lord your God, serve him, and make your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods from the gods of the nations around you. Do not fear other gods. Those do not follow other gods from the gods of the nations around you. I don't care whether you are reading in Chinese or in English. It is these two verses are in the... God is ordering us. He tells us to fear him, to serve him. We have to worship him and fear him because he is the creator of the universe. And number 14 tells us, warn us not to follow other gods. Not only must we fear our God, we must also serve him. So how do you prove that you fear God? It is through your worship, through your service. So we have to be careful, because if we just go to church and be present in church, just like, okay, I mark my attendance, I'm in church, that is not serving him. So there are some church members who acted likewise. So I will encourage them, well, if you show good example to your family, to your children, see how the church worships. We must encourage our friends and other church members, other brothers and sisters, to come and join our church. Take a look at my brother who just played piano so well. God, because God gave each one of us a wonderful gifting that we may use it to worship him, to praise him. Therefore, we must learn how to serve him. And through the service of God, we may be able to mature spiritually. We'll become more experienced and we get wiser, you know. Although we may have different opinions, but ultimately, we serve the same Lord. It's okay as long as we obey biblical principles. Serve our Lord with all our heart, with all our strength. We will serve the same Lord, and Jesus will accept us. Furthermore, we have a very clear-cut objective. Together, we build. When we worship and serve our Lord with all our heart, and with all our strength, and when we unite together and serve him, God will bless our service. God will bless our lives. Now, our church has a very clear target. Build up with one heart. With what heart? With which heart? With the heart of Christ, of course. Me and you and him, we all serve the church together so that we may serve our Lord Jesus Christ together with our hearts. The key is to support one another. So when we work together, I tell you, as Brother Jack says, when we serve together, we are so joyful. Because God, when God gives us a job and we get the job done, it is full of joy and happiness. So through our service and ministry in the church, we can equip ourselves to be more effective. Praise the Lord that throughout the entire year, our church, in the past year alone, brothers and sisters have done a lot of things. The Sunday school rooms have been remodeled, have been repainted. The entire church sanctuary or the PA system, the light system. Our brothers and sisters have really put in time and effort to improve on all those things in our church building. And then we only have some of our brothers and sisters to send the kids, after Sunday school, they send the kids back to home. So even during the midst of the pandemic, we have learned to work together even more. And as we serve as a team, we are able to serve to the best of our ability. So we are able to give things, we will do a lot of things that are more positive and more constructive. Now, as we have different departments in our church where we have different teams working together on various projects, I need to make a report about the summer retreat of the MWCA. We co-host with the Lexington Chinese Christian Church, and so far things are progressing smoothly. The theme for this year is to connect. So our two churches, our church and the Lexington Church, has become a good testimony for this theme, this thematic idea. But together we serve the God under this theme of connect. And we work together and we really enjoy working happily together. God gave us this guidance through the theme to connect. So we have a great relationship with God as we connect with God, and then we connect with church brothers and sisters. And not to forget, we must also connect with people who are seeking after the gospel. So the truth of God also tells us that the Lord is the vine, and we are the branches. Those who are connected to the tree, we are all connected and we will grow. Oh, God has been very graceful to our church. And at the same time, I like to report church. This time the summer camp is very different. We don't have to drive to Cedarville anymore. We don't have to pay for the lodging there, because this time it's going to be done online to the Zoom meeting. So I encourage this summer retreat to be nourished by God's word. Even though this year's summer retreat is to Christians, but for the tri-state area, for the Midwest churches, yet we are extending our invitation to other church members in other churches in the whole country, church members in Canada, church members even far away in Taiwan, because they are able to go online and join us in worshiping God in this summer retreat. So this time it will be big time. So many Christians will be able to reap the house. We will be able to benefit a lot from this summer retreat. As the co-host, we must be a good example to other people. So let us also register. I encourage you to register all of our members so that we all of us can join this summer retreat on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. if you will benefit from it tremendously, I promise. But the third aspect of fearing God is to build a close relationship with the Lord by living a godly lifestyle, daily lifestyle. So that means going back to the basics of the spiritual life, which is emphasizing on a consistent daily devotion, hunger and thirst after God's word, and pray incessantly. If you place emphasis, the importance on building a closer relationship with God, you will grow. Now, just imagine if a Christian never pray, never study the Bible, never offer to church, never do anything for church, is not even clear about what God is doing in his life, because God is so far from him, because he failed to have this close relationship with the Lord, his life is miserable. A good example is when the church pastors only give a phone call to the church member once in a long while, if there's no relationship established between the two parties, it will be a relationship that is very dull. In the same way, if our relationship with God is so dull, so weak, even if God tries to speak to us, we will not hear. So I want to encourage all of you, study 7 days in a week, spend six days in a week to do devotion time. And then on Sunday, and come to worship him. I give you 6 days in a week. I give you every morning. I provided you the daily devotion scriptures for you to study, to read, and get close to God. So I encourage you to read them, and then you share what you have learned, what you have encountered. Share with your several members what has touched you during this whole week. Say it out so that you can share with others, and also you can praise God. The other day, I was at a brother's home, and I shared how God has blessed my life. I always encounter God's blessings on my life. God has been very merciful to me. I always feel that I have been blessed very much by God, and therefore I want to say it. I want to share it with any person that I met. So if we learn to get closer to God, we will be able to see what God is trying to do in our lives, and we will worship him more, and we will receive his blessings, and we will be able to understand his will. He's God. So we must first get close to him. We must worship him. We must get close to him. When we are willing to get close to God, our God loves to respond to our actions, and he will bless his grace and his blessings, pour them among us. When we read the book of Hosea, I'm sure you have understood that right from chapter 1 and now chapter 2. See how God understands the heart of God. He understands their heart. He understands us. We are emotional human beings. Our God is the same. He has emotion too. He loves us, but sometimes he's so angry and he will punish us. Sometimes God will feel hurt. He will feel that he has been hurt because his own children gave up on him. And then he will feel infuriated. He will feel angry because his children refuse to return to him. So may the Lord help us. So when we spend time in the morning and spend devotion time early in the morning, that's my suggestion, because that's the time where you can really spend some good time of devotion with the Lord. Eventually, it will become part of the life, your habits. Then you will continually to be blessed by God through this close relationship with our Lord. Because our God is one who is willing to speak and talk back to us. sermon's title today is God Reproves Man's Ungratefulness. From the book of Hosea, we learn that Israel was likened to an unfaithful woman who betrayed her husband. Therefore, the consequence was God's judgment upon them, Israel. Once again, it reminds us to possess an attitude of fearing God. And I'm speaking to those who are worshiping one more night. We must fear God. There are three aspects of paying reverence to God. It is number one, honor Him in my heart, serve Him fervently. And number three, value our relationship with Him by leading a life of holiness. And if you do that, God will bless you tremendously. Lord, we thank you that you have placed the book of Hosea right in front of us, that we might get a better understanding of your will and your heart, that we will fully comprehend what you have done. You are the only true God. All knees will bow before you, all lips will praise you. Oh, Jesus is the only Lord. We praise and look forward to your coming second time. May you lead our God of the church. Prepare our hearts to welcome this new era. We're ready to receive this, to experience this new revival. Lord, may you bless our summer retreat in July. That more of your children will be able to join. That we may be equipped to soldiers of Christ. That we may have the courage and the wisdom to share your gospel to the rest of the world. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. as a time for offering. Let's read 2 Corinthians 8:12. Our weekly verse to remember is taken from the book of Hosea 6, verse 3. Let us know, let us pursue knowledge of the Lord. Let me repeat. Let us know, let us pursue knowledge of the Lord. In your hands, please take a look at the offerings report of last week. Our annual budget is around 216,000. Since the offering, the total offering since last week was around 87,000. Sure, you see that's lacking them. And I must say thank you for those brothers who offer, who give faithfully. Let's pray together. Lord, we sincerely thank you from the heart that we are able to come together in such a manner to worship you. Because you are our God, you are our Lord. And you also allow us to have a part in the offering. So Lord, please encourage each one of us not only to give of our finances, but we must also give of our whole life, our whole body to serve you. And we pray in Jesus' name.